Marie Colvin wore a black eye patch because she lost an eye to shrapnel while reporting from Sri Lanka in 2001. But that didn't stop her from venturing back into Tunisia, Egypt, Libya to cover the uprising of the Arab people there. And it's what eventually took her to Homs in Syria, where today she lost her life. Yesterday, she filed her last dispatch from that embattled city.
There is just shells, rockets, and tank fire pouring into civilian areas of the city, and it is just unrelenting.
That's Marie Colvin speaking to our partner, the BBC, a native of Oyster Bay, New York, graduate of Yale University. For more than 30 years, Colvin willingly entered where other reporters feared to tread. Kosovo, Chechnya, East Timor. She said she was often the only journalist in the battle-torn areas that she covered. We spoke to her several times on this show from war zones over the past several years, including Tripoli, where she rushed in just as the Libyan uprising against Muammar Gaddafi was getting underway.
Gaddafi certainly has supporters. There's a lot of people who are angry at him and want him out. I would say there's a larger population that wants change, but is very nervous of the violence that could entail. Millions on the street saying, "I love you, Gaddafi." I don't see it.
Last year, Marie spoke at an event honoring other reporters who'd been killed in the line of duty. "We always have to ask ourselves," she said, "whether the level of risk is worth the story. What is bravery and what is bravado? Journalists covering combat shoulder great responsibilities and face difficult choices. Sometimes they pay the ultimate price." Marie Colvin paid that price today for a story that she felt was worth the risk. She and a photographer were killed while trying to flee from a rocket attack in Homs, Syria. Joining us now is Ian Black, Middle East editor for the UK Guardian in London. Thank you so much for joining us, Ian.
Hi, good morning.
I'm wondering what your thoughts are this morning about this story that Marie Colvin in the end gave her life for, and whether or not, I mean, obviously she must have made that difficult choice and decided that Syria was worth that risk.
Yeah, I mean, I was shocked when I saw the news this morning, but I have to say I wasn't surprised. I knew that Marie was in Homs. I heard her very vivid interview with the BBC just the day before. She was always going to be the journalist who was going to be in the toughest place at a time when the risks were evident. There were huge risks. People have been to Homs recently. Others have managed to get across the border from Lebanon, but not into Homs itself. It was obviously a very risky thing to do. And I think that what she would like to be said would be that, and she said similar things, of course, over the years, that it was her job, she felt it was her job to go to places where people were suffering and to tell their story. And the risks that she took were no greater than the people who were living there. She didn't have to be there, but that was her vocation, and she did it supremely well, and has now paid the to use that horrible cliche, she's paid the ultimate price. But I think that, you know, we've all got to go sometime, and probably as the professional that she was, who was prepared to take these risks, she probably would have mused that this was a way to go, for her at least. And it is sad, but the sadness, I think, is tinged by a sense of she was doing what she was very good at, better than probably anybody else.
That's absolutely correct, in that Marie Colvin was often able to bring stories out of some of these areas that nobody else could get. I wonder if you have insight on how she did that. I mean, you knew her for a quarter of a century, right?
I remember I first met Marie, I think. Memories fade over time, but I think I met her in 1985 or 1986 in Libya when she was a young reporter, I think, with UPI, the United Press News Agency. And over the years, I've seen her sometimes more, sometimes less, particularly in the Middle East, where I've spent much of my working life. The last time I saw her was sort of typical in a way. It was in Libya in October, just after the killing of Muammar Gaddafi, towards the end of the month. And she'd been in Tripoli for a while. And she was, as ever, she was impressive. She seemed to be fantastically well-connected. She appeared to be able to do things that others couldn't. I remember being impressed, not for the first time, by something that she'd done. She'd gone on a trek for 4 or 5 days deep into the Sahara Desert to find one of the weapons caches that had been hidden by the Gaddafi regime, which were posing a problem for the in this post-revolutionary situation. And that was a big deal. That was quite a risky, dangerous, a very gutsy thing to do. And she wrote a very vivid story about that. Part of Marie's secret, not really a secret in a sense, was that it'll be harder for younger listeners perhaps to understand, but we have still had this concept in Britain of a Sunday newspaper. That's a newspaper that only appears once a week. And despite the internet and all the changes driven by that, Marie would often be writing one story once a week, or one big thing, one big project once a week, when others would be doing the same thing every day. And that was both an advantage and a disadvantage. The advantage was that you could do something special. The disadvantage was getting to the point towards the end of the week where you had something new to say that hadn't already been done. And that honed, I think, for her and for other Sunday journalists, an expertise in looking ahead to kind of craft a story that would be different from what other people had done, and required a special effort. And that was the sort of thing that she really excelled at. And it was that incident in Libya that I described was typical of the sort of thing that she would do. Her competitors from the British or American media would be doing something, you know, perhaps the obvious thing or the more obvious thing every day, and she would come up with something a bit different that cast the story in a new light. So she needed tremendous initiative for that, but she also needed the bravery and the imagination to work away from the pack, to do things by herself, and she was supremely good at doing that.
Well, we're speaking with Ian Black, Middle East editor for the UK Guardian in London, and we're remembering Marie Colvin, who was killed in Syria today. And we should also mention that Marie Colvin wasn't the only one that died. Also, who died with her was an incredibly distinguished French photojournalist, Remy Oschlick, who was there with her. You know, she asked, you mentioned bravery, and she asked the question whether it's bravery or bravado. And I wonder, Ian, if it was maybe both that brought Marie to these very dangerous places.
I think it was both. This is a difficult job to do. I'm just looking now at a tribute from a Syrian activist who says, R.I.P. Marie Colvin and Remy Oschlick, the French photographer, who also died. Your heroes, and we'll never forget you. You are our martyrs, too. That's a moving tribute from people who want nothing more than their plight to be told to the wider world, and Marie was really excellent at doing that.
Ian Black, Middle East editor for the UK Guardian in London, remembering American journalist Marie Colvin, who died today reportedly by fleeing from a rocket attack while in a building in Homs. Ian, thank you so much. And once more, we hear Marie Colvin's voice from yesterday. This is her last dispatch from Homs in Syria.
There's a small clinic. You can't even really call it a clinic. It's an apartment that has been turned into a clinic. I mean, you have plasma bags hanging from coat hangers. There was just a constant stream of civilians. I watched a little baby die today. Absolutely horrific. Just a two-year-old been hit. They stripped it and found the shrapnel had gone into the left chest. And the doctor just said, I can't do anything. And his little tummy just kept heaving until he died. That is happening over and over and over.
I'm David Remnick, host of the New Yorker Radio Hour. There's nothing like finding a story you can really sink into that lets you tune out the noise and focus on what matters. In print or here on the podcast, the New Yorker brings you thoughtfulness and depth and even humor that you can't find anywhere else. So please join me every week for the New Yorker Radio Hour, wherever you listen to podcasts.